Hi, welcome back to The Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. In this episode, I interview Deb Benfield. She is in charge of aging body liberation. She is fabulous and really empowering to women of all ages, but she specifically focuses on women around the ages of menopause and beyond, and just really helping with that conversation and staying in tune and helping us, you know, love ourselves and all that's involved in that. So that's what we talk about. So tune in.
All right. Well, welcome, Deb. I'm going to give a little bit of your bio first, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Okay, great.
So my guest today is Deb Benfield. She's a nutrition and body image coach. Deb invites women to blaze a liberating new path to a respectful, nurturing relationship with their aging body. She has helped hundreds of women heal their relationship with food, eating, and their bodies in her more than 35-year career as a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and registered yoga teacher, specializing in preventing and treating disordered eating. Now in her 60s, Deb focuses her research, training, clinical, and lived experience on the intersection of pro-aging and body liberation. Her work is rooted in helping women shift their relationship to their body from a life project to a life partner. She helps women nourish their body in midlife and beyond to help support their growing older in alignment with their values. She also recognizes internalized ageism, and her mission is to end it and untangle women from the mess of diet and wellness culture. Deb offers one-to-one coaching, small group coaching, and a membership community and professional consultation. She founded Body in Mind Nutrition. We'll give you links to that later. A group practice of big-hearted and highly skilled registered dietitians specializing in weight-neutral care and treating eating disorders. Deb is also a lover of rivers, words, and her kids and grandkids. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and including all of this in your podcast for your community.
Yeah, I've been watching you for a while, and I love the messages that go out. The body positivity is so important, and I feel like it's a quiet voice in so much the other that we tend to get. So how has your focus evolved over the years?
Yeah, I am really, really fortunate in that when I first started, you know, post-grad school and started into seeing patients and clients, I started developing relationships with therapists in my community and got invited to join a practice of therapists. And the woman who was leading that practice specialized in eating disorders. So I got really lucky right off the bat to jump into this work way long time ago, late 80s. So I've seen a lot happen in the diet and wellness fad world, along with eating disorder treatment.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I remember the 80s were fenfen and all the the chaos of
And now that you say that, maybe things haven't changed that much.
Right now we've got other things that will not be named. So what are common challenges that women face, I guess, in this space specifically related to aging?
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing happen is that, well, as you've already mentioned, there's a lot of noise, really, really loud. What I think is fear-mongering around menopause and midlife and aging itself, and how, you know, our bodies change. They're supposed to. Our bodies change, and that's okay. But we don't seem to be able to be okay with it. So there's that. There is pressure to continue to freeze frame your body in time. And there are health anxieties that are very real and understandable. So there's just a lot of pressure around, my opinion, an overfocus on what we eat on our diet and somewhat on exercise too. There's a lot of fitness pressure. So I think there's a lot of mythology, a lot of misinformation, a lot of just lies.
And impossible standards.
And such ridiculous. Yeah, there's a tiny little bit of a glimmer every now and then I see around like what's called pro-aging. And I have a strong opinion about the lack of body diversity in that movement as well. There still seems to be an awful lot of thinness, a lot of focus on thinness and remaining muscular. And sometimes I think it's just the same old thing, just with gray hair. It's the same, you know, it's the same old thing.
Well, and even when I think about, like, I know you're a grandmother now, but when I think about even, I turned 50 a couple of weeks ago. And when I think about my mom at 50, or when I think about my friends' moms at 50, like 50 doesn't look like it used to.
Right.
And grandmother does not look anything. You don't look anything like my grandmother did, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, part of that is probably living healthier or differently than they did, but also it's influenced by, you know, kind of new expectations and new, you know, new skincare and all of it.
Yeah. Some of that's good news. And I think the mindset around aging is a little bit more liberated around, you know, you don't have to like go sit in the corner. You can go move through your life and do amazing things. So a lot of it's shift in our cultural perceptions. I hope, I still think we have a lot of ageism that we all breathe in without being aware of it, but maybe less than what you're describing, maybe less than 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's
good
news.
I will say too, absolutely, that that the idea of an active senior, the idea of participation in professional arenas at an older age, there's less, you know, I'm wondering too, the trending of maybe smaller families. So women aren't saddled with, you know, parenting for 20 years instead, you know, so there's just different trends moving in that anyway. I also think it's just hilarious to see 20-year-olds dye their hair gray.
Right? It's just such a wild time right now. It's such a wild time.
Why would you do that?
And just, I'm not going to drop names, but, you know, celebs who are talking about how they're going to stop using Botox in their 20s. It's just like, I don't even know where to go with that. I don't even know where to go with that. It's just,
Yes.
There are a lot of women that are talking to me in their 30s about like, I want to start pushing back against what I'm already feeling around wrinkle creams and doing all the things to prevent aging. And it's just, I don't think that that was in my mindset when I was in my 30s. Well, I was living life. I was busy doing a lot of things in my 30s, but definitely not worrying about wrinkles. Definitely not.
Yeah.
So maybe that's social media. Maybe there's more looksism. I think there are certainly all these filters. There's just so much pressure now. Yeah.
That is true. I mean, there's always been retouching and that's always been a part of the culture, but yeah, sure. the accessibility. Well, tell us, okay. So tell me about your group because, okay. And we'll just full disclosure. We met through a similar business coach. I was developing the Pleasure Circle, which is around women's pleasure.
Yeah.
And we were on a coordinated working session and Deb was telling me about her program. So, but tell the listeners about it.
Yeah. I have an 8-week small group coaching program that I'm in love with. I'm in love with the women that come to this process. It never fails to amaze me. Just very ready to live life women who either have had their own eating disorder early in their life and the pressures that we were just discussing are kind of sending them into more of a fear of relapsing back into their eating disorder, or women who have just been chronically dieting and are so ready to stop. Mm-hmm. And so the combination of those two types of patterns for what I see show up, and we continue to support, like really getting into dismantling all of these dieting wellness belief systems that are limiting and not even true, and internalized ageism that is pulling people toward, you know, white knuckling around how they take care of themselves, toward feeling fully able to live your life in the body you're in. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. I'm just very excited about it. I am in like the second week of my sixth cohort now, and I could go on and on.
It's very powerful. So tell me, like, the profile, the focus area you said, but like, does it tend to be so aging, vitality, does that mm-hmm. tend to draw women of what age range?
Well, I say midlife and beyond. So mm-hmm. I tend to get like late 40s to 80s is what I have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's online.
It's online. And there's a membership that's by invitation only for people who have done this work on their own or have been part of the group and want just community and support, because this can feel very isolating. There is so much pressure to go the other way that we need to find each other. We need to find
community. So once you do the group, then you qualify to be invited to the community, right? Yes. Anybody can sign up for the group first. Okay, great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then because that age range mirrors what a lot of shows up for my group as well. Typically 40, for me, it's been more 40 to 70. What types of topics come up around sex and sexuality as it relates to body image? Does that come up in your group?
Absolutely. It comes up in my group and it comes up more in my membership. We're really talking about that a lot, because I have connection to body and permission for pleasure and all sorts of topics in my group flow. But in the membership, you know, there's more like freedom and people are talking much more freely about how they feel about the story about bodies and like their personal experiences around starting to give themselves much more permission to be in their bodies and how that affects their sexuality, which is very exciting. I feel strongly that this supports.
That is a huge correlation, right?
Yeah.
Because
yes,
so much of how you show up sexually is about how you feel, right? I mean, I think younger women tend to be more performative. Like there's this notice me and there's a desire to be desired. But I find that as women age and they really start to have a different kind of relationship with themselves, their pleasure is more prioritized and they're not just trying to please a partner. They're trying to please themselves. Yay.
Yes.
And if they can make peace with themselves, they're more likely to allow and have really satisfying sexuality.
Yes. And hopefully a little bit more comfortable with their own experience, a little bit more comfortable in their own bodies, a little bit more present, which I think goes a very long way when it comes to enjoying yourself. Mm-hmm. So many of my clients talk about that piece. It's like the process that we go through requires you to get much more connected and curious about hunger and appetite and taste and what it feels like to move, just a lot more connection with your senses. And that supports a stronger, you know, sexual experience or more pleasurable sexual experience.
Yeah, because it's not just about genitals. It's about whole body sensitivity and allowance to feel, you know, touch or to feel, you have to allow, you have to be okay with your body. And if you're kind of cut off that mind body connection, it makes it really difficult. Mm-hmm. And certainly if you've had a struggle with body image, being embodied can be tricky.
Right. And my group is we do grounding practices. I'm very focused on practice. So it's not just concepts. So a big part of the process is to become embodied, the invitation to notice what your body is actually communicating. Yeah. So that would definitely support what I think you're about, which is pleasure. If I've got that right.
Yes, that's exactly what we're about.
Yes.
Let's see. So confidence. Let's talk about that for a minute. Like, how does
confidence? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does that factor in terms of, I mean, there's self-talk, but there's also, you know, there's confidence that is sort of a little more flimsy, which is gained from out, you know, external validation. And then there's true, you know, kind of the self-confidence that is rooted in you believing you are worthy and deserving.
Yes. I mean, it's funny that you're mentioning that, because when I am like messing around on Instagram and I hear women talk about certain things will give them body confidence, I'm always just, I just takes me a minute. I always just kind of reflect on like what they mean by that, because I agree with you 100% that I think the way that we throw that around on social media and in conversation is the first thing you mentioned. The idea that what I look like fits what I think the culture thinks is attractive. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I am talking about. I'm talking about disregarding, not being curious about the external gaze, but much more curious about what you know to be true about yourself and relationship with your own body, with that partnership in place, how things shift and change, which brings huge confidence. Being in partnership with your body instead of trying to fix it actually opens the door to confidence, a real confidence. Yeah.
I'm glad that gratitude is part of it. Like, when you shift the conversation to what are you grateful for about your body? You know, and like it works, it's strong. Like, I'm speaking for myself. Like, I have always liked that my body is very strong, and I appreciate that it allows me to do sports and, you know, allows me to lift heavy things and, you know, be in the world in that way. But it shifts rather than what don't you like about your body? Cause everyone has got a quick answer for that. But what do you like about your body?
Yeah. 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 We do some of that. And I think it's really, really challenging. It's a challenging conversation, because ableism is all caught up in ageism too. And your body's abilities are changing. Mm-hmm. It's very real that things shift and change with time. I mean, even just with menopause, things change. And can you not get all caught up in fighting that? Can you roll with what you just said, some level of gratitude for all that is still in place? And it's okay to grieve the losses too. I mean, it's okay to have that grief process so that you can move on and live in your current body fully with permission for pleasure. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there maybe an exercise or some prompt that you might give us that might help in sort of in that direction?
In the direction toward developing body partnership. Can you tell me more? Is that what you want? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like even noticing that you are relating to your body as a project. I mean, for a lot of women, it's been a lifetime project to work on controlling and actually trying to shift and change actual shape of body. And it can be an obsession, right? It can be a real like place that you spend your time and energy, so worrying about your body size and shape and appearance. And I think when you notice that that's what you're doing and kind of be with like, is this really how I want to spend this chapter of my life? A lot of the women that I work with say that that's what happened, is they realized that they were just done. They were just done with this. I mean, the data supports that it doesn't really work anyway. You could just spin your wheels forever there.
Yeah. And that daily mood of like pulling the scale out and then deciding, is it a good day or a bad day? You know, it's
I cannot.
Don't do it.
No more. Smash the scales, give it to somebody, put it in the dumpster. The scales are not your friend in any way. Mm-hmm. But I think once you realize that's what's up and you have a decision to make, the first fear that comes up for a lot of women is that, well, is this just mean I'm letting myself go? And it's like, that's the first thing people think. It's like, it's such a binary. You're either all in or you're letting yourself go. And of course, the process that I'm talking about is you're letting go of the social narrative and cultural pressures. You're letting go of that, but you're not letting go of caring for yourself. You're actually shifting from control to care. You're completely changing the lens, the tone of your relationship with your body. So when you think about, and this is your arena, when you think about healthy relationships, you think about attention, giving the person your attention. You think about listening and asking for consent. And then over time, developing trust or repairing broken trust. That's the exact same thing you're doing with your body. You're giving your own body your attention, your care, your listening, like checking in with yourself to see if you need to rest, if what your hunger's look like what you really do want to eat, and how would that feel if you ate this or that? And then in that, there's a consent asking piece, like checking in with your body to see, do I feel like going to the gym, or is this, could this be a rest day? Like that consent asking. So over time, your body trusts you and you trust your body. That's what the mending is all about.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Because I like that relationship metaphor, because it is. It's if you're in this constant like tug of war to be good and to do it right, you know, then you're struggling instead of befriending and honoring.
Exactly. And we really all are trying to just be good. We really are. Doing the best we can. Yeah.
I say be good or be good at it. Okay, you mentioned the M word, menopause.
Yes.
Which I am squarely in right now. And that is a doozy. It's a big topic within my practice because, you know, women and couples definitely come in through that door of like, what is this and what can we expect? And, you know, there's pieces that are relational, but there's pieces that are really just interpersonal too, you know, like,
and physical.
The fatigue, the body literally changes, right?
Yes.
Belly tends to maybe hold more fat to it. The irritability can go up. It's just, it feels strange. So I guess what would love to hear just any input you have about that phase of life.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, I have a strong opinion. So this is,
that's why you're here.
Soon be 65. So I've had a lot of time to reflect on that midlife time and have worked with a lot of women. And I feel like it's an opportunity to get to know your truest self. This is my theory, that in puberty, the girlhood self kind of gets lost in being concerned about the gaze of others and acceptance And that's developmentally appropriate, but you get out of touch with some of your more authentic self if you're not careful. And of course, we all do this differently. And some people stay intact with their authentic selves and some people get far away from it. It's real easy to get far away from it, especially now. And so menopause is this opportunity to like not care about the gaze as much. And I think it naturally happens for a lot of us that we give fewer fucks. And I don't know how okay that is for your show, but that's what happens for a lot of us. And with that, you actually get to return to your more authentic self. You have access to more of who you really are, which I think is incredibly exciting. It's a very exciting time. And I know it's not easy. I mean, I know it's challenging.
And there can be an invisibility. Like I've noticed as I've gotten to be older, I feel like I'm invisible sometimes.
That's real. Yeah.
But also I do care less. I do care less. I care more about my work and I care about my friends and I care about my relationships than I do about pleasing and about being pretty and about being, you know, I mean, I want to be attractive, but I don't know. It's not a priority the way it was in my 20s and even in my 30s.
Well, I'm sitting here in a ponytail.
It's practical.
Yeah, I'm not caught up. And I have access to more energy that to me feels much more exciting. So this is, of course, my bias. But that's one way to look at menopause is it's an opportunity to get to know who you really are. There's an emergence that can be had here that I think is incredibly exciting.
Yeah. And I don't want to say losses so much as changes happen, right? So it's just things are just shifting around. And
for sure.
So it's not like, and sex is definitely not off the table. Right. You know, I think sometimes people need more help with lubrication and, you know, they might need some more rest and that type of thing. But it's, I mean, there is this wonderful book called Magnificent Sex that I love because it really, Peggy Kleinplatz is the author. And she, along with some researchers, looked at long-term, they did a long-term study looking at older meaning over 60 years old and couples that have been together for, I think it was at least 10 years, if not longer. But they had couples that had been together 30, 40 years, and they were looking at what qualifies as magnificent sex when you're in that body for a longer term relationship, which is very different than the new hot thing. And it was so different, you know, sex wasn't even penetration necessarily. Sex was defined a lot of different ways. And I think that's wonderful. That's where we need to be is like, what feels good on your body or in your body or, you know, in your source.
That is what we talk about in our membership. It's like, we're talking about like the idea that we learned about sex, what we were steeped in, what sex is and what sex is now is so different.
Yes.
So different. Yeah.
The messages, the presentation, the promises, it's like, you know, it's not that. And I would say the quality of the sex changes over the years, if you allow it to. I mean, if you just keep doing the same thing with the same person, that's what it is. But I find that a lot of women, they hit that sort of empty nesting stage and they're like, I'm sick of it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing it that way, you know, on lots of fronts. And they want to have a different type of relationship to self and to other. And that includes oftentimes asking for more of what they want in the, you know, in their bedroom too.
Yes.
Which I applaud because I
love that. Yes. Important. I love that. And if you are actually developing a relationship with your body for the first time in a long time, that's really relational. That's not like focusing on what's wrong, what you're criticizing your body, then that would support this, what you're describing. It would just kind of augment that magnificence. I love the title of that book.
Do you have other resources that you recommend?
This is, I'm not doing great with this. I wish that we had something specific to midlife and older, but Come As You Are is kind of like the mainstay because she talks so much about body relationship. She's all about all bodies are worthy and lovable. And that's a big message for me.
And everything's normal. I love how much she normalizes. Yeah. That's Emily Nagoski. She's wonderful. She actually has a new book coming out first of the year.
Do you know what the title of his
order is? I don't. I heard her speak at a conference in the spring and she teased it as coming. And so I'm watching her social media and I know it's coming and it's going to be good because it always
is.
So, okay. So Deb is certainly a resource and you can find her. We'll put this in the chat too, but DeborahBenfield.com and she's on Instagram at Aging Body Liberation. So you can find her there and join one of her future groups. Would love that. So
yes, that'd be great. Love to have you.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks. A great conversation.